It's really a strange thing because like dad worked from 5 to 7 every day for a long time. And I don't really have a lot of memories of my dad until I'm probably about 14 or 15 years old, which is really sad in a way. But like mom says, like, oh, he was there. He was there. But I was like, I don't remember him really. So, I mean, but it was nice though, because I bonded with my dad at the right time. Because like most guys don't really bond with their dad till they get in their teenage years anyway. It turned out okay. But girls, I think, need their dad a little bit earlier on. I don't know why, just psychologically or something. But so that's my 2 cents. I think that's a natural progression of things though. Cause I mean, I think every guy could say that, not every guy, but like I was close to my mom and then I came close to my dad, which I know mom really got hurt by that when I got to college. Cause I'd call dad and she's like, why aren't you calling me? And I was like, well, cause I'm talking to dad about guy stuff. But I go on vacations with my mom all the time, as a lot of you probably know out there.
Yeah.
I know dad likes it when I call him because I actually will shoot the shit with him. Whereas, like, my sister calls my dad, she's only asking him for money. And he's like, I don't want to fucking talk to your sister because she's going to ask me for like $200. I'm like, well, I never asked dad for money because it's like, that's his fucking money. Unless I really need it. It's just the differences the way me and my sister were raised is that, you know, I always had a job. I was always active and I knew what it was like to actually earn money. Nothing saying my sister didn't, but I didn't want to take away from my parents either. I was like, you know, you guys have done enough for me as it is. It's like, I don't want to keep burdening you with extra debt.
I learned everything about women from my dad, who's one of the most laid back people I've ever known in my entire life. And I get myself in trouble for doing his approach, but my mom is a retired school teacher. I remember growing up all the time, she'd come in just pissed off at the world because you're dealing with kids all day long and they're just screaming and you can't do anything about it. And he'd be sitting there in his chair just watching the news or sports or whatever. And she'd come in just wanting to pick a fight. But he, you know, at that point, you know your wife well enough to know, at least you hope to read her. So he knows that she's trying to pick a fight with him to get her frustrations on the day out. Just sits, stays quiet, doesn't say a word. She just keeps prodding him and prodding him. Doesn't say a word. Finally, she just blows up. And this happens God knows how many times. Just blows up like, rah, 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 goes in the bedroom, slams the door every time. He just look at me, put his hands behind his head and go, yep, night of peace and quiet. You know? But that's just, it was a win-win for him. You know, it's just like, either I can have fun with my wife or I can just have a night to relax. So, I mean, that's a good marriage to me.
Maybe I just had more fucked up parents than y'all, but like, my bedtime was 8:30. So you naturally don't want to go sleep that early. I had bunk beds until, I don't know, 14 or so. My mom, I would go to bed. And if I wouldn't go to sleep, she'd say, the monster man is going to get you if you don't go to sleep. I'd be like, whatever. Okay, so you have those little wooden rails to keep you from rolling off the bed. After I would be asleep, I would hear the sound of nails, as in like fingernails, going across the wood plank. And then I'd raise my head up to where my mom would be wearing a mask and going like,
what?
It scared the shit out of me my entire childhood. But the thing is, did you go to sleep when you're told you go to sleep? Because you don't want that guy coming to get you. My parents loved psychological scarring. It was some old man mask, some old Halloween mask that my dad had. Actually quite sweet people. She's embarrassed about it now. But the next time, when you say go to sleep and then the kid didn't want to go to sleep, it's like the monster man. I didn't know it was my parents. That's what I'm saying. It's like they would say this person will come.
Did you ever get your ass beat, Jay, by Jack for breaking your toy on Christmas or your birthday?
Oh, he never broke his toys. He never opened them.
I opened them, but I never broke them.
I feel like there's a Nick's mom story about to be told.
Yeah, because like I'm hearing,
I can't wait.
Because I'm hearing about Chris and Jay being great parents. I'm like, wow. I was like, they're actually trying to protect their kids. I was like, that never happened with me.
I've got so many.
Yeah. Well, like the first story that popped in my head was like, you know, you're saving her from the stairs or whatever, but like my dad has this on video where my mom, we're in Jersey or Delaware, I can't remember, we're on the beach, and like this My mom's like holding my hand. I'm a little kid. We're like walking out in the ocean. This big wave comes in. The wave hits my mom and she falls into me. And like basically I get buried into the sand underneath the water. And I'm gone for a good 2 minutes. Like I'm not in the video. And she's like looking in the water like, where the hell did he go? And then finally, like you see like my little arm like come out, you know, like. But the gift that I'm thinking of is, you remember those ink pens that came out in the 80s and early 90s that had like 10 different colored inks, but they're in one pen.
Yeah. The Gatling gun of pens.
Yeah. I had one of those. It's what I got in my stocking stuffer at Christmas. And I was like, I was so excited to get it. I mean, I was probably 9 or 8 years old. I don't know. I left it on naturally in front of the fucking fireplace where your toys and everything are. My dad started a fire. I come back. The damn thing has melted all over the fireplace. You know, and then, of course, I start to cry, but guys can't cry. It's Christmas time. You can't cry. And then I get my ass kicked. You know, yeah. Are you crying? It's Christmas. You don't cry. You're a man. Suck it up. And then- Growing up, I used to duck hunt all the time, but for some reason it just kind of dried up in West Tennessee. It's just not as good as it used to be. Well, starting in 2005, Dad and I started going up to South Dakota to go pheasant hunting every October. And pheasant hunting's fun because it's just different and all this stuff. But in Mitchell, South Dakota, which is a little town, it's a great little town. I do recommend you going. But there's nothing to do there at all. So you get up late. You shoot times at noon. You're usually killed everything by 2 o'clock. Go back, take a nice shower, eat a good dinner. What's there to do? There's nothing to do. So there's one club in this town, and it's called the Congo Club, and it is a strip joint. Most of the men that go up there to go hunting are not our age. They're not even Jack's age, really. Like, they're all older men. Let's just say the women, not to insult the women of Mitchell, South Dakota, but they're not exactly like big city strippers. You know, they're all a little past their prime. You know, they've had probably about 5 or 6 kids each. You know, they're not exactly what you go in and go, oh man, I want to dance from that girl. When you've had an excessive amount of children and you haven't worked off that baby weight. So, you know, and then, you know, their ass looks like they've been hit with a sack full of nickels. And, you know, you're trying to hide those stretch mark scars. And so, but I walk in and with a group, it's me and about 5 all men in their 60s or 70s, and my dad. If you've never been to a strip club with your dad, that's an interesting experience in its own right. I was 24 or 25 at this particular story, and I'd never been to a strip club with my dad. And all these men, it's not like when you're young and you're just like eager at the stage throwing dollars. Like, they're all like talking to the strippers like they're going to take them home with them. Like, oh, you got kids in college, or, you know, you need gardening tips? Great. You know, I don't know. It's embarrassing to me, but I remember, like, it was my childhood doctor. He'd retired. You know, he was like looking at like all these women, like, these are not strip club conversations. Like, he's sitting there going like, oh, like, you should probably get that mole checked out, you know? And so, you know, later on the night, we all had lots of beers and all this. And some of these guys start getting lap dances, but it's not like the VIP room of a separate room. These are all just basically picnic tables with chairs around them. You basically, the girl walks up and says, you want to dance? And they're like, yeah, give me the $20. And they just sit on you and give you the dance right there. Well, some of these guys are getting them. And I guess my dad felt like, oh, my son's at the strip club, I'll buy him a dance. And he tells this girl without telling me, and she is easily 230 pounds. And she walks up, doesn't ask my name, doesn't do anything, and just plops down on me. And this is one of those where I got like getting sucked into a sofa, you know, like basically you just see my head and I'm there between her dirty pillows and she's naked. And it's just a look of horror of just, I don't know. And then, of course, my dad's over laughing his ass off the entire time. Why?
You know what would have been better if your mom was there.
Yeah, that's true.
Wearing the mask.
Wearing the mask. I think I told this story before, but like, you know, the day I knew my mom was insane, because, you know, when you're a kid, you just think that's your parent, you know, and that's just who you accept. But like when I got in college, my parents came up for a football game and they were tailgating or, you know, in the parking lot somewhere. And my dad was there, you know, like all of us were drinking before the game. And then this woman walks in front of my dad, and it's a woman that my dad graduated high school with, had not seen her in 25 years. And he grabs her and he's like, oh my God. Like, I don't know what her name was. Let's just say Jill. Okay. He's like, hey, Jill. Like, ah, you know, he's all happy, you know, and like she sits down and they talk for like a good 20 minutes, just nonstop. And then I look over at my mom and she's just fuming. And finally she just looks at my dad and like smacks him across the face and is like, give me the fucking keys. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And he's like, what? And then, because clearly you want to be with her more than you do with me.
Oh my
God. And I'm like, it's just like the thing is funny is like she storms off, and then dad's like chasing her down the street. And then I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I'm following. And then she turns around. She's like, well, you're just ignoring me this entire time. And he looks at her and goes, I've been with you for 28 fucking years. You know, it's like, I haven't seen her in 25. And like, and you're thinking I'm just going to hook up with this woman? Like, what the hell is the matter with you? And I didn't understand that at all, because like in my mind, I'm thinking like my dad's like, I love seeing people I haven't seen in a long time because you want to catch up. And I didn't understand like this irrational jealousy that just popped out of my mom. And I mean, they've been together forever and they're perfectly happy. But I remember going like, wow, that's a bit of insanity I have not seen in my parents before.
All right, Nick, who have you beat the crap out of?
That's what it says. Since we're all telling stories. Yeah, I might as well. Okay, so I didn't hit this guy, but it's a good story. This happened to me about this time last year exactly, because I was home right after Christmas, and I wanted to go down to Brownsville, Tennessee to eat some barbecue. And so me, mom, and dad got in the truck, and we're driving down, and dad has a lead foot. That's just the way he is. The guy in the left lane was going slow, and then there's another guy in the other lane just right behind him, so you couldn't pass in either lane. And so finally, when there's just enough room, dad squeezes in between the two. And this guy is in the right lane, and there's this Mercedes, you know, and then dad continues to fly. But the guy's keeping up with us. I don't notice this whole time because I'm on my phone. So eventually, when we get into Jackson, Tennessee, dad just whips the truck over, like out of nowhere. I'm like, what's going on? This guy has been following us for miles.
Do you have a gun rack in the truck?
No. Because I don't think you can have those anymore.
Really?
But yeah. I don't think you can have actually a gun like in plain open view anymore. Okay. In the back of a truck. But so this guy cuts.
Life sucks.
Yeah. Well, this guy cuts dad off, and then dad just jumps out of the truck, the cab. He's like, "You got a fucking problem?" Like, just yelling at the guy, and I'm on my phone, just in my own world. And mom's like, "Going, Nick." I'm like, "What?"
She should have put on her mask and went after the guy.
It would have scared the guy. But so I finally get out of the truck to see what the hell's going on. And I'm seeing my dad and this guy, they're shoving each other because they're both smart enough to know that if they actually throw the first punch, they can both be sued. So it's an old man fighting, but not fighting competition. And mom's like almost in tears going like, get it to stop. And I get in between the two. And then it finally hits me how small this guy is that's trying to beat up my dad. Because dad's 5'10", 220. This guy's probably 5'2", 140 pounds. And I get in between the two, and the guy looks at me and goes, I'll kick your ass. Get out of the way. And I just start laughing at the guy. I just nonstop hysterical laughing. Because the guy was probably 75, 80 years old, you know, like a Korean War vet or something. And he just looks at me. He's like, why are you laughing? I'm like, look at you. You know? I was like, you're not going to kick our ass. Like, you know, and he's just like, what are you talking about? I'm like, dude, you're like 80 years old. It's like, what are you going to do? And
actually worse than punching him.
Yeah, exactly. And I finally just stick my hand on his chest because he's trying to get at my dad. And I'm like,
oh my God.
And it's one of those like little kid things, you know, you see like in high school or middle school where you got your hand on the kid's head and he's literally just trying to charge past me when I've got his hand, my hand on his head, on his chest. And I'm hysterically laughing this entire time. And of course, dad is trying just to be civil, but like he's pissed too because the guy cut him off.
You can't back down.
Yeah. And so dad's being tough. Mom's crying and I'm laughing.
That's awesome.
Finally, I just go, I'm just looking at the guy like, please get back in your car. Please get back in your car. I don't want to hurt you. And he's like, you're not going to hurt me. I'll kick your ass. I'm a veteran. I'm like, you may be, sir, but you might die before you like, you know. And finally, I'm like, you have a good day, sir. You know, we finally get him back in the car. He's just like, fuck you, fuck you. But like, no, not one punch was ever thrown. It was just a shoving match between two old guys. My issue with, because I haven't been married, so I don't have anyone that drives me nuts, but I do have my mother. I love my mom, but she is the polar. I want the polar opposite of my mother, and so that's what makes it difficult for me to date. It's because they naturally don't get along. But my mom is one of the most neediest people on the planet. I can't tell you how many times that she's broken down crying in front of me over some shit that's in her head. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I look at my dad, I go, how'd you deal with this your whole life? This woman's insane. We went to Europe one time with a big group from our hometown, and I consider myself to be a very good son. I'm very considerate. You know, I'm like, do you want me to be with you today? Do you want me to pick you up anything? I'm going here. Like, do you want me to take a photo or something? Anything. I get it clear with her in the morning, and she would do it almost every day. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to go with this guy. Do you want to come with me? Or do you want to go with your girlfriends that are going to go shopping? And she feels the woman guilt of like, oh, I need to go with the girlfriends to go shopping. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, how's your day? She's like, she just starts crying. I can't believe you left me. You know?
Oh my God.
I didn't do anything. I asked if you wanted to come with me. God, like I have a lot of trust issues because of her too. Like I remember in high school, my coaches wanted me to be a big guy. I have a very big frame, but I'm a skinny guy because I didn't want to be 200 something pounds in high school. Because they're like, you could go to college football if you just bulk up. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to live a normal life. And so they got to my mom and were like, you know, if you put this in his food and if you put, you know, do this, he'll start gaining weight.
Holy shit.
And she did it. And I remember, like, I used to drink milk all the time, and she cracked open two raw eggs and put it in my milk one day. And I, like, started to drink it, and I could just feel the slime going down my throat. And just
what's wrong with this milk?
Yeah, spit it all out. I'm like, what the fuck? You know? And she's like, did you just swear at me? I'm like, did you just put eggs in my damn milk? You know, it just, oh, my God. And to this day.
She wanted you to play ball.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, I mean, she was thinking of me, but no. To this day, though, like I check everything. It's been, you know, 17 years.
I scan my house. I come in there.
When I go home, like, and everything she makes for me to eat now, I check it. I don't trust her. I just don't.
She makes you like a whey protein banana bread loaf.
You know? Well, it's not. It's not just that. It's like, you know, she's a hoarder. She doesn't throw away anything. I've literally found like a jar of jelly that's been expired 6 years in the fridge. And you're like, do you know how long jelly lasts?
So do you think that's why you're still single?
I know. I can't blame my mom on this podcast because
she might listen.
If she heard it, God, she would just die. She's actually quite lovely to everyone else, you know, but like, I don't know if this is with your wives, but like, there's the side that you know, and then there's this total fake side when she's around other women and other people, and you're like, who the hell are you? And that's everyone knows my mom is that fake person, and then I know her, and I'm like, you know, you're not that person that you're portraying. You know,
it's not a reality show.
It would be entertaining.
You and your mom. I think that it sounds like it'd be.
It would have to be like a road trip type reality show or something.
Oh, that'd be perfect, wouldn't it?
Because that's where we're at our best. Of just
you guys in a car. Driving.
Oh God, because she is that person that if I'm not talking to her on the phone, she will talk to herself trying to get me to talk about some crazy shit she's just spitting out of her mouth at that moment. And it could be like you're driving down the road and I'll go, there's a Cracker Barrel, there's a Wendy's, and I'm like, yeah, what do you want me to say? I've seen it. But like, you know, like she'll go, I'm hungry. I'm like, okay, well, tell me what restaurant you want to eat at. She'll wait till we pass that thing like a mile and a half or go, oh, I wanted to eat that Panera Bread back there. I'm like, well, why did you fucking say it a mile and a half ago? And then she'll go on for the next 2 days going, remember that Panera I wanted to eat at, but you didn't pull over? I'm like, fuck, Mom.
Maybe we shouldn't bring your mom on this show.
I think it'd be great. Nick, what's new in your life there?
What's the last conversation with your mom?
She's in China right now. So.
People want to know.
In China? Whoa! What's she doing in China?
A friend she graduated high school with is not really a tour guide, but she's has run museums and things like that. And she got this woman got hired to bring a bunch of, I guess, fairly wealthy people over to China and give them a personal tour.
Yeah.
And she could bring a guest. So my mom's was free. So she's like, do you want to go? And I was like, sure. So
that's awesome. Well, do you know where in China she went to?
Yeah. She's starting in Beijing and then I think Xi'an. And then the Tibet, and then going to Tibet, and then I think Shanghai, taking a boat from the three dams, or whatever it's called, the Three Gorges.
She can see the Great Wall.
Yeah, that's something you definitely got to do when you're in China. But yeah, she's never been, and she's looking forward to it. She was kind of, she was gonna say no until I finally was like, no, you're gonna regret it if you don't go. Well, I've been. I went in 2005, and I'd gladly go back. It's a great country, but the air pollution I know has gotten a hell of a lot worse than when I went. But
you saw the Great Wall, though. You saw
I saw the Great Wall, yeah. The Great Wall.
I'd really like to see the Great Wall.
Yeah, the Great Wall is really neat. Really, the part that's just north of Beijing is the only part they really keep up for the tourists. The rest of it's kind of falling apart. And then I was in Xi'an, which is where the terracotta soldiers are. That was the original capital. And that's where I worked because I was doing archaeology at the time. And then I went to Chengdu. That's where the pandas are and all the breeding facilities. And went and they have to do all that, and then I came back. I worked for, the University of Tennessee for a long time. You realize Indiana Jones is, like, one of the worst archaeologists in history, right? If he never teaches. He always jumps out the windows. He never grades their papers. And then he just has no regard for the artifacts. He's like, oh, this is important. Just chunks it, breaks it, rips stuff open. Oh, back to Mandarin. Yeah, no, I got by. You'd be surprised how they really try. Because especially in Beijing, it was – part of the deal is I had to go to Beijing University once or twice. Like they did every Tuesday night. They had an English corner where everyone that was majoring in English would go and practice, and they would just swarm you, saying a big tall white guy because they knew that you spoke English, and it was great. And this is before the Olympics, so all of them were learning English to get proficient.
How many countries, Nick?
I can't count it off the top of my head, but I've been to the majority of the European countries, Japan, China. I'm going to India in January.
You're going for a wedding, right?
Going for a wedding, yeah. And I'll be there 17 days or something like that.
Welcome to the Married Man Podcast with Married Man Jack, Married Man Tim, Married Man Chris, and Nick.
Nick, a.k.a. Norman.
So I guess we should let people on. Before we started recording, we were kind of comparing Nick to Norman Bates.
So I did a video chat, not this weekend, but the one before with my nephews and my sister, and then my mom was there. And it's one of those things where, like, we had talked for a while, and I was over it. It had been like an hour-long video chat. And at the last second before it hangs up, she goes, I miss you, and then click, it's done. So,
She said she missed you and then hung up?
No, and then just that I had already was already going for, like, disconnect the video chat,
I thought maybe she hung up so you couldn't say, I don't miss you or something like that. So she
I call her, it was yesterday because I went to Pasadena to the Apple store and I was telling her about how you upgrade to a new iPhone. But anyway, so she, out of nowhere, she goes, do you remember the video chat the other day? I was like, yeah. She goes, I said I miss you, and then you didn't say anything back. Why didn't you say I miss you too? And I was like, I didn't hear you. Honestly, we had already all had said bye, talk to you later, and then it was like click, and then you throw in I miss you at the end, and apparently I'm the asshole.
How about you, Nick? I heard you're having a pretty hard week too.
You want me to go ahead and tell this story? As I was saying to Tim, Chris, before you joined, I'm a bit cross with my mom this week. When I left grad school and I went, this is a little bit of a long story, but when I went back to Tennessee, I transferred everything, my address, back to my Tennessee address. And then when I got hired out here, I told Dad, I was like, hey, I'm going to leave my bills and credit cards and things still at this address for a few months. And then when I get out here and get my finances in order, I'll transfer them back. He's like, cool, no big deal. I'll make the minimum payments for you. I was like, great, great parents. Well, a month ago, mom calls me and says, can you start helping pay on this credit card? And I'm like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah. I was like, give me one more month, and then I'll transfer it back to my address. She's like, okay. And then I even go the extra next step and explain to her like what I'm getting every 2 weeks finance wise, just so she knows like where I'm coming from. Well, the next week I get an email from my mom, from Bank of America, saying we've acknowledged your change of address, which I think is really weird because I don't belong to Bank of America. So I think, okay, it's just spam. I ignore it. Last Friday I get a bill in the mailbox. It's a credit card bill from Bank of America. Now, I don't know if your parents were nice like this when you guys went to college. Mom opened up a credit card for me when I first went to college for emergencies. Like, you need a pair of shoes, you go on a date, whatever, because you don't have a job, you're in school. She's left this card open for 16 years. Barely, if at all, made any payments on it in 16 years. What? And I don't even have this card anymore. So this is what was weird. So I get this bill in, and it's $5,000 that she has let run for 16 years.
What?
Yeah. And so she's very financially responsible. And the thing is that, you know, I've had jobs here and there over the years. She could have easily been like, oh, you remember that card? Like, do you think you could pay on it? Which I always thought she was paying on it because it was one of those like, oh, I'll take care of it because you don't have a job because you're 19 and in college. So I get this thing and I'm like, what the hell? And I want to yell at her so bad, but she's in China, so I can't do it. And so I call Dad and I tell him all about it. He goes, well, you know, your mom, you know, she just doesn't think like that. I didn't know that either. And so he's like, okay. Well, yesterday I opened the mailbox again. She's transferred the other credit card that I've always had back here as well. And it's like, so now I've got just this ton of debt that's just been dumped on me. And I'm just like, motherfucker. Like,
so wait, whose debt? What is it, your debt or your mom's debt?
Okay. They're both in my name. Okay. But this first card that I got, the Bank of America card, I only used it from like 2000 to 2004.
So and it's all interest?
It's all interest, late fees, and all these things that's been compacting for like 10 years. Well, it's not too bad because I clearly got into this building and they did a credit check. So it can't be too bad because she has been making minimum payments every now and then. I actually live in a pretty good area of downtown Los Angeles. It's not the platinum area or anything where I'm crossing my mom because she let debt compile on me and didn't tell me. In my name, and then two, after I tell her that I can't give me a little bit more time, and then I'll do it myself, she goes ahead and does it. So it's like, you didn't even listen to anything I said. You're just like, oh, I don't want to pay this anymore. Fuck you. Good luck, son. And I was like, well, that's very motherly of you. But it's cool. Like, I talked to Dad again last night, and he was like, okay, I'll help you out with one of those cards, because he knows I can't, because it would take me years to pay off this debt. Yeah, I'm already making $500 a month payments for student loan debts. It's like, and now I have to pay this as well. It's just insane.